Welcome to Living Orthodoxy, an invitation to a deeper life in Christ, a podcast of St. Philip Orthodox Church in Souderton, Pennsylvania, dedicated to connecting the liturgical and spiritual life of the Orthodox parish with the life of the Orthodox home, presenting the weekly homilies of our parish pastors, Father Noah Buscelli and Father James Thayer, as well as discussions of the liturgical year and Orthodox life and practice by Justin Bowl and Jeff Hyatt. Now here is Father Noah Buscelli.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. I'm really thankful to be alive, and thankful to be here. Thankful to see your faces. As the sermon goes along, and as the weeks go along, I will share with you some of the gems from my trip. But now we have something really serious at hand. This is the sermon of the Last Judgment, the Gospel of the Last Judgment. And this should be very sobering for us. This should correct our caricature of our Lord. It's easy to focus on what we want to focus on. It's easy to see what we want to see and hear what we want to hear. But the reality is different. And while I was on Mount Athos, thank God for a beautiful pilgrimage, and I really, truly prayed for each and every one of you, probably 50 times. The services were long, and they were all in Greek. And though I know a little Greek, I don't know enough for 5 hours. So for my own sake, I had recourse to the little English that I had with me, but for your sake too. And while I was there, I received a lot of grace, a lot of blessings, and I was nervous about losing them, losing the holy images and experiences that I had, which I lost most of them already. But God answered my prayer to not lose all of it by giving me the flu. And it must have started someplace in Thessaloniki. And then the symptoms came when I was on Turkish Airlines for 12 hours, not sleeping, just sitting there, miserable. And the flu was really like being judged. Those of you who have been sick this winter, those of you who are going to be sick, may it not be anyone here, when it comes, accept it as a little judgment from God. Let him sift your conscience. So the gospel today, the message today is lies, the truth, and our inheritance. The world tells us lies, God tells us the truth. And we have a great inheritance that we should not lose sight of. The world, the flesh, and the devil. We are in a battle with the devil, and this battle is primarily a mental battle, thought-based warfare. And in this battle, the devil, who has the world and has our fallen flesh, tells us these things. He says there is no soul, and none of us really matter. And because of that, things like sex and gender don't matter. Because of that, we don't really have freedom anyway. We're just a series of synapses, cosmic synapses. The devil tells us there's no right and no wrong. Tells us there's no history and no future, no eternity and no truth. And there's no God, he says, because he's jealous of the inheritance that we have, and he wants to steal it from us and dance on our burning bones. But they're lies, and we should not believe them. Just because it's on the internet Just because it's on the news does not mean it's true. Check your sources. So what is the truth? The truth, in fact, is Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. The truth is not an idea, a thing that can be disproved. The truth is a person, the God-man, who came to this earth to reveal the truth to us. And the truth says, yes, there is a soul, which matters. In God's image and likeness, male and female, He made us. Yes, there is true freedom, and we can use our freedom to draw nearer to God or to slip away from Him. Yes, there is right and wrong. Yes, there is a history, and we need to know our history, the history of our faith, the history of our family, the history of our country. And yes, there is a future, and the future matters, and we can affect the future. And yes, there is eternity. Yes, there is truth. And yes, there is God. And God loves us. But His love for us is beyond love. So ferreting out the lies, rejoicing in the truth, we can come to what our inheritance is. And it's hard to speak about this because it's way beyond any words. St. Nicholas Kvasila says, if we really know who we are as heirs of the heavenly King, who have a kingdom awaiting us, we would never believe and start to follow a runaway slave and enslave ourselves to him. If we really knew that there was a crown waiting for us, a crown that was forged by Christ in the pits of hell at the cost of his life, then we would not settle for a fast food crown. We would rally, and we'd be grateful for the opportunity to serve and sacrifice for the King who loves us and served and sacrificed himself for us. If we know our inheritance, we know it's worth the struggle. It's worth the struggle. One of the monks on Mount Athos said to us pilgrims very clearly, he said, love and sacrifice are synonymous. I want everybody to repeat that with me. Love and sacrifice are synonymous. We can't say that we love somebody without sacrificing for them. We can't say that we love God without sacrificing for Him. We can't say we love our spouse, our children, our family, our neighbors, our students, our teachers, everyone in our life, without sacrificing for them. They're synonymous. Here is a beautiful example of a sacrifice. But God honoring the sacrifice. Some people think that receiving Holy Communion is a way to get germs. And I'll tell you the way to get germs, it's to fly on an airplane. Almost every time I fly, I get sick. When I consume the chalice at the end of the liturgy, taking all of your germs into my body with the body of Christ, I don't get sick. God knows. Before leprosy was cured, sometime in the 50s or 60s, there were leper colonies all over the world, including Greece. And some monks were sent from Mount Athos to serve those leper colonies. And I'd heard just a little bit about this. Some of the monks had faith, and some didn't. And the lepers could see right through it, who had faith, who didn't. And a priest monk came from Mount Athos to a particular leper colony. And the people watched him. After the liturgy, he consumed the chalice. He was very careful. He let everything come into his mouth. And the people said, "This is a real man of God. Not only does he believe in God, believe in God's providence, believe in the sacraments, but he is willing to sacrifice himself for us, just in case." And they drew near to him, and he ministered to them, touching their wounds, hugging them in their dying moments. He was there, and he buried the last one of them. The bishop said, "Okay, you can go back to the monastery now." He had been preserved safe and sound. He said, "No, this is my place. These are my people. How could I leave my people?" And he spent the rest of his life healthy. He spent the rest of his life there. His sacrifice, which was love, was God's sacrifice and God's love. And it transformed him and it protected him. Let me read to you from our little red prayer book. The spiritual and physical, corporal works of mercy. To feed the hungry, to give drink to the thirsty. This is obviously taken from Matthew 25. To clothe the naked, to ransom captives. That's new. To shelter the homeless, to visit the sick, to bury the dead. And the spiritual works of mercy. To admonish sinners, with humility, of course. To instruct the ignorant, to counsel the doubtful, to comfort the sorrowful, to suffer wrongs patiently, to forgive injuries, to pray for the living and the dead. We asked a beautiful old monk, "How do we actually love our neighbors when they get on our nerves?" I said, "I'm going to go home soon, and I'm going to be with my wife and children, whom I love dearly. I'm going to be with my parishioners, whom I love dearly. But sometimes I get a little bit annoyed. How do I really love them in the middle of that annoyance?" I only share this with you because perhaps you have the same problem. He said, first thing, forget about yourself. Second, forget about the other person. And focus, number three, focus on Christ. And then do the right thing, and the Holy Spirit will come and make everything good. So, brothers and sisters, our church teaches us, this is another thing I learned on Mount Athos, our church teaches us how to stand in the fiery presence of God. How to stand in the fiery presence of God. Of course, we want to do His will, but we can change our hearts by sacrificing and loving so that He wants to do our will. We can open up our lives to Him. So He says, "I will give you everything you want. I see that you love me and what you want is good. Everything you want, I'm going to give to you." Now, don't take this the way of getting wealthy. Don't take this the way of staying healthy the rest of your life and living forever and ever. No. Take this the way of little blessings, little reminders that our Father loves us. So, brothers and sisters, don't believe the lies of the devil. Believe the truth of God and work out of hope, out of faith, out of love. Work for that inheritance. Be grateful for the free gift of the good news that we can strive to be worthy of. Throw yourself into living in God so that when you're judged, there's nothing. All of your sins are transparent. They've already been confessed. The Lord says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." Amen.